if you've watched children grow and learn new things, how do they learn new things? By you telling them or by you showing them? You know, they watch, especially if they've got old brothers and sisters, you know, they see what walking is, and so they try out walking. They see what grabbing, they see what eating is. Oftentimes they have a little trouble, you know, utensils and working that in, but bit, by seeing what everyone else is doing, bit by bit, they pick up those skills as well. And God, as our teacher through Jesus, modeled something for us. And as we're talking about going, this command that Jesus gave us to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that he taught them, to do that going, he didn't ask us to do something he wasn't willing to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Just a few verses here, but very, very powerful in their meaning. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What we see here is that mission work that we're talking about this month was modeled by Jesus. He did it first. And as we look through these verses, we see a few things here. First off, it says he went through all the towns and villages. He went where people were. And what our lesson for us is we need to go where people are. We have made some great technological advances in terms of communication, especially in that last few decades. We can disseminate information all over the world in fractions of a second. Used to be, if you wanted to communicate with somebody who was on the other side of the world, you had to send a letter, and that may take weeks to get there. You know, there was a time it would have taken months, if not years, for something to arrive. Now, in a fraction of a second, you can send an email to just about anyone around the world. You can send a text. You can just communicate instantaneously. But we're not dispensing just information when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not just throwing out facts for people to believe. Sharing the gospel ultimately is not a high-tech endeavor. It requires presence. It is a person-to-person, in-person work. You think about that just for a moment in your own life. About who led you to Jesus Christ, or the number of people who were involved in that process. Did they do it from afar? Did they write you a letter, make a phone call? Or were they there present with you in life, through life's ups and downs, modeling for you what it meant to follow Jesus, while sharing with you the reason for the way that they lived? And so, when it comes to mission work, this is why we talk about go, because we have to go where people are. And as he was going, as he was doing this, he met their needs. He says he was healing every disease and sickness. Now, why would he do that? Well, to get people's attention, to give weight to his words, to prove who he was. They were signs to say, you know, when Jesus says, guess what? I am God in the flesh. Prove it. Okay, watch this. And meeting needs still opens doors for the gospel, even today. Well, what needs? Maybe you're aware of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You maybe learned it somewhere along in school. It's kind of a pyramid that works its way up. And down at the very bottom, there's the very basic needs, the very basic physiological needs. You know, food, water. But then there's the next need up is that of kind of safety and security. And this includes health. One of the missions that we support is a missionary, medical missionary in Haiti. And I've been following them on Facebook, and they're doing all sorts of amazing things being present there with the folks. Then there's the need of belonging, that we all have a need to belong to something bigger than ourselves, and to belong to a group of other people, to have a sense that we are welcomed, we are received. Then there is a need of esteem, that we have a sense of self-confidence, that we know that we're okay. Then there is self-actualization, and then ultimately transcendence. And the gospel brings all those things to us. At those higher levels, but sometimes it's up to the missionaries to meet those first basic needs so that they can see how the gospel fulfills those higher needs. This is what Jesus did. He fed people bread, fish. He healed them. But along the way, he didn't just keep doing that. Along the way, he said, there's something more here that I want to make you aware of. And some people say, well, we just came for the fish sandwiches. Thank you very much. And left. But some people embraced him and who he was and got all that way to that place of transcendence where they recognized their place in the universe. And this third thing he did, as he's modeling it, he taught about the kingdom. And the kingdom, folks, of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, it still captivates people today. So oftentimes we're talking about the church. And we just kind of talk that up. And so people are like, church, I've seen a church. I've been to a church. I did that once. I didn't like it. I don't know. But if you talk about the kingdom, you're talking about something altogether different. The kingdom is the place where love is valued over power, where serving is greater than being served. These kingdom principles that Jesus talks about, where he says, you've heard it said this, but I'm going to tell you this. Where the blessed are the poor, the meek, those who hunger and thirst. That's the kingdom of heaven. And people are still receptive to that today. This morning we're blessed to have some missionaries here with us, John and Jabba Grozier. Did I get it right? I got it right. All right. I can be taught. They're missionaries that we support in Poland. And when I sent out word to our missionaries and said, hey, we're going to do this. Can you send us some information? John responded and said, well, we've been thinking about coming back for a visit. And love to have you. And so each of them is going to share a little bit and kind of expound some of the stuff that we're talking about this morning. So John, if you want to come on up, let's give John a warm welcome.
First, I'd like to thank you for inviting us and for allowing us to come this morning. And thank you for being a part of our lives, even though you might not exactly know what that means. It makes a big difference that we know people are praying for us and for Poland and are partnering with us. I came this morning when wanting to connect you to Poland, but I'm realizing there's a deeper connection that I didn't know about. I knew about, but I didn't really know, but until I arrived here this morning about 2 hours ago. You see, I was born in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia at the time, and I just grew up there. That was my home. I didn't know anything else. And my parents were also born there. My dad was not a believer. In fact, he was pretty avid about his believing that really God wasn't a part of his life at all. And these Americans moved next door to him. There were a few of them. That's the story that he told us later, that the story that I've been hearing for years now. And he said these Americans were different. First, I laughed at them because Americans are just funny, you know? We were British people, you know, with British passports, colonizers. Americans were from another universe. He couldn't understand them, first of all. And he said, but after watching them live their lives, you know what I did, John, in speaking to me? He said, I went to them one day, and I said, why do you live the way that you live? And he said to me, and I've heard the story over and over again, he said, all they did was open the New Testament. And they started talking to me about Jesus. And I realized in my life that that's exactly what I needed. And when I think of what we're talking about this morning, that's exactly the model that Jesus left us with. It's very simple. But the message of the kingdom and the words of the kingdom, they turn everything upside down. Because the last are first, the first are last, and love is real, and forgiveness is real, and it's not about power. And in running into the Frasers this morning, I realized that I'm connected to Jesus, and I'm just one ripple in hundreds and thousands of those kinds of ripples. And it's based on the fact that the message we carry in our hearts is the message that Jesus had for all of us. And of course, our message is based on his message and his life. And there's nothing more simple than that. That's all we can hold on to in life. The relationships that we have and the gospel that makes sense of those relationships with each other and with our Father. And in Poland, that's exactly what we'd like to do. That's what we hope we do. Meeting needs. You know, Poland is a nation of 38 million people and maybe 10,000 believers of every shape, color. You know, it's a different context. So if we say in Poland, we'd like to start a new church, people will look at you as if you're from Texas. It's like, what? Why would you do that? The church has been here for thousands of years. We actually don't need the church. But if there's something you could do for our children, because we don't have enough place in preschool for them, or if there's something you can do for my child with an after-school program, because he really needs to learn English, and if there's something you can do for my husband, because he has a big problem with addictions and alcohol, I'm willing to listen. And we found, over being in Poland for 30 years, I've been there 24 years, but our ministry's been there for 30 years. When those two things come together, when we're able to be with people, to go to people, but be with them in a place where we're able to meet their needs, whether it's through education, whether it's through playing basketball. We did that for a while, and, you know, because young kids love to play ball. And we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. There's so many ways we can do that. My wife and I actually spend most of our time in education, working with young people, with their parents. And the connections that are made because you can take care of children in Poland are amazing. And my wife can share more of the stories about those lives that are changed. But for me, it's nothing more than a continuation of the ripples that Jesus began, and he continues through each one of us, when we're willing to believe, to step forward in faith, and to say, I'm going to base my life on this message and the truth that Jesus modeled for us 2,000 years ago. So thank you for being a part of our lives and that ministry with us.
Some of you are new enough, you may not have caught all that connection here. But would you guys stand up? So those Americans that he's referring to, there's a couple of them that were over there. The ripple effect, the changing, the going, the being present. Here's something else that Jesus showed us, is that mission work should be motivated by compassion. That we don't go out into the world because, well, we're right and they're wrong, or we want to be a colonizing effect for our country. We go because we recognize that eternity hangs in the balance for people. And that people without Christ throughout this world really are hurting. You may not hear that, but they are. And if they're not hurting physically, we're finding people without that meaning and purpose that the gospel brings, people do find themselves in despair. Here's a few things that we see based on what Jesus encountered, and we still encounter today. People were mistreated, and people are still mistreated today. And because they're mistreated, often what they need in their lives is an advocate. People around the world are still segregated by race and religion and by income. We like to think that racism is an American problem. It is universal, folks. All across humanity, if people can find something that makes them feel like they're better than someone else, they'll do it. And if they can gain at someone else's loss, they'll do it. But the gospel speaks to the dignity that all human beings have because they are created in the image of God. In places like Cambodia, children are often sold into sex slavery, sometimes and oftentimes by their parents. And Christians are leading the way, not only in rescuing children out of those situations, but also working with the government to change laws and to change the culture there that has allowed it to be so permissible. There are Christians who are going around the world doing things like bringing water, helping people dig well, helping them learn how to farm, doing all sorts of things, how to do business and have micro businesses and so they can provide for themselves. All of these things are changing because of Christians. In one African nation that I visited, it was a common thing to, if you wanted to marry a girl in another tribe, well, somebody had to offer up a girl out of that tribe to someone else without her choice. Christians were bringing the gospel and saying, that's not right. One of the things that we begin to see is that people are without power. We see that there in Matthew's gospel, and we see it today throughout the world. The rich and the powerful control access to food, medicine, and education. And so people need empowered. And so there are missionaries who help people become self-sufficient, who provide education so people can be empowered to solve their local and national problems. People are often unprotected and unguided, and they still need a shepherd. And Jesus wants to be their shepherd. More and more, you'll hear about how bad Christians have made things, supposedly, in the church. But folks, I want you to think historically about what the church has done throughout the world. Think about how many hospitals you know that start with the word saint. Think about how many orphanages around the world exist because of people of faith. Wherever Christians have gone, wherever Christianity has been brought in to bear, the lives of people improve. Christianity brought objective truth, and out of that objective ethics that serve as a framework for our laws. But it also brought compassion and grace into our understanding of how to treat people. Do we always get it right? Obviously not. But just because you don't always meet the standard doesn't mean you do away with the standard. And so Christianity has made a huge difference in this world. And to understand the difference, just simply go to a place where Christianity does not exist, is not practiced, is not taught, is not a part of the culture. And dig deep down a little bit off past the surface, and you'll see how people are truly treated. But here's the good news. Something that we've kind of lost sight of is that mission work is still fruitful. Jesus said, you know, there's a vast harvest. Other passages talk about the mission field being wide. The harvest is wide. That means it's ready. And he's saying it's vast. But we don't have enough workers. But that vastness tells us it's ready. And where people are going, when they're being present, when they're sharing the gospel, fruit is being born. You may not realize this because, you know, in our country, we hear about more and more people declaring themselves to be a nun, N-O-N-E. You know, I don't have any religious affiliation. But across the world, Christianity is growing, even in places where it's very challenging and possibly even illegal to be a Christian. The church is exploding in places like Iran, Africa, South America, in China, of all places. The good news of Jesus Christ is still being welcomed by people all around the world. To talk a little bit more about this fruitfulness and what it looks like, Shabbat's going to come up and share. Why don't you give her a warm welcome?
Thank you, Byron. And I know your name now too. I'm sorry, I misread it on the last service. Yes. Well, thank you for inviting us. And that's very true. We are really blessed as a part of our ministry to see the fruit of God's work and the need of people for Jesus in country of Poland. As you can probably hear, I am from Poland. I've been there all my life, 50 years now. And one day, I had a need, and there was someone who shared Jesus with me. Unfortunately, our country is a country, like John mentioned, about 38 million people, and everybody knows about God. But nobody or very little group of people know God. I was like that. I grew up in a very typical Polish family, and I knew that there is God, and I knew about the church that from time to time you go to, but I didn't know who Jesus is for me personally. And someone shared it with me when I was 19. My heart was really moved and changed by it. So I had that great desire to share that truth with others. And we are able, not everyone who is a missionary could see the fruit of it. We're able to see that fruit almost every day. 13 years ago, as a part of our ministry, we started a preschool to meet the need of our city with 26 children in it. Today, we have a preschool, elementary, and high school that we run in the city of Tomaszów with 430 students, and about 85% of them are not from evangelical families. But we have a chance daily to share Christ with them, with their parents, with their grandparents, with some of our workers, because not all of them are born-again Christians, and we can see the fruit every day. The first fruit that we had to wait for the first 3 years was Irena. She came to sign in the kids to preschool, and a few months later, she was invited to church. She made a decision for Christ. She was baptized. She's a great, great daughter of Jesus today. And a few years later, her husband followed her, and the whole family was changed because of those two kids in the preschool. Now they are in the high school almost. Then there was Anya, one of our teachers. She came to help as an assistant teacher in the preschool. And 4 years ago, her life and her husband's life was totally turned upside down, and their marriage was saved. And their life is so different today. She serves in the worship. He goes with our men's group to Kenya and Zimbabwe to serve others. And they are light for a lot of people around them. And then there is Edita, who just this year in February gave her life to Christ. She knew us for 10 years working with us. But we prayed and we believed and we've seen her coming to Christ and giving her life and wanting to serve. Just to give you an idea, I know these are just names, you can see them, but we can know them. And we knew them before they knew God, and we know them now when they are serving and sharing with others. Just to give you an idea, a few years ago when we were celebrating 10 years of our Christian center, in that year, in our little church in Tomaszów that we started, 41 people were baptized. 41 people throughout the year gave their life to Christ. Out of that 41 people, 17 were our workers, our parents, two grandparents, and some of our older students. So almost half of all the people that gave life to Christ through service of the local church were people who met Jesus in our center. And there is a wonderful, great need. And for us, is a great blessing to see. And if someone tells you Christianity is over, people don't want Jesus, don't believe them. We know that in my country, in Poland, there's a great need, and people respond to that message. And there was no church in Tomaszów just 15 years ago. 70,000 people, no evangelical church. Today we worship with about 200 believers every Sunday, just in Tomaszów. And we start another church in Łódź, which has about 50, 60 people, and starting another one in Piotrków as a part of our ministry. So there is a great need, and there is a very fruitful service. So don't let be deceived by people saying that it's not true.
Jesus said, look at the harvest. The harvest is vast. How big is the harvest? How many people are there in this world? It's billions of people. But there's a need for workers. There's a need for people to go out into the harvest, to go and be present, to meet needs and to share the reason why they're meeting those needs. To just pass along the difference that Jesus Christ has made in their lives. So here's a question. If the need is great, the question then for you and for me is, how can I participate? How can each of us be involved? There are some real basic ways, you know, some not a big risk, not a big thing, but you can do it. You could take one or two or three of our missionaries and just invest in them. Go to our website and you'll see all the contact information and just say, okay, you know what? This interests me. I'm going to pray for these people every single day. And I'm going to start making contact so I get updates from them on things that are going on, and I'm aware so I know exactly what to be praying for. And I might even take some money out of my budget and pass that along because I haven't ran into a missionary yet that says, oh yeah, we got enough money. You can, just from home, you can participate in this. But you can also begin to do this, begin to think and think about this. Around you is your mind. Close your eyes just for a moment and put yourself on your front porch. And just begin to think, who lives around you? Some of you, you know, you have very close neighbors. Some of you, well, they're a mile down the road, but try to think about them. There's your mission field, folks. Think about where you work, where you go to school. There's your mission field. Think about your dorms. There it is, right there. I think about the people in my life that got me to Jesus. You know, the band kids that I went to band kids, and their parents were sponsors of youth group, and I went to that. That moved me along down the road. And then when I was a senior in high school, I got invited to a meeting, mainly because, you know, I thought the preacher's daughter was cute, so I wanted to go to a Bible study where she was at. And you know who was leading the Bible study? One of my teachers who I had a good relationship with. And they just kind of kept the thing going. The girlfriend thing never materialized, but Jesus became very real. There's the mission field there for us. It's out there. But then also this. Maybe you're hearing the nudge to go a little farther than your neighborhood, a little farther than work. Maybe you're one of those folks who can travel. Maybe it's just for a short time. You may be thinking, I don't know a lot of theology. What am I going to do? Folks, our missionaries will tell you they love people who'd come without theology, but with some very practical skills. There's a lot of them that could use people with construction skills, medical skills, business skills, things that you may have that they could really employ and help them in their work. You would be surprised. Earlier this fall, I was supposed to go on a different mission trip. I was supposed to go to visit one of our missionaries in Mexico. And I began to have some unease about it. And I finally said, you know, they asked, hey, we got to make the flight reservations for you. Are you going to come or not? And I don't think so. I think we're going to have to pass on this one. The very next day, I got a call from a friend of mine who says, hey, there are a few of us going over to Myanmar to teach at a Bible college, and I want you to come with me. I said, so you can show them how to do it right, and I'll show them how to do it wrong. And said, no, I want you to come. So I'm going in January. I'm going to Myanmar. And I'm so excited because I'm going to be teaching on the book of Acts and on preaching. That's the part, you know, don't do it like this, do it like him. Thank you for getting the joke. Thank you. But I'm going to get to go put some of my skills in, because I don't do medicine and I don't do construction and stuff like that. But here's something. We've all got something we can bring to the table. Or maybe you're being called to go and study and go and take the theology part too. It might be something happening. And maybe it's short term, maybe it's long term. But it begins with opening yourself up to say, okay, I will go. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. It's a song we've sung lots of times before. I have decided to follow Jesus. And oftentimes when we sing that song, we think about, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm going to be baptized in the waters. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. I'd like you to think about it a little bit different. I am going to follow Jesus where he's leading me. If Jesus went to the mission field, how about you and me following him to the mission field in some form or fashion? So if you decide to follow Jesus, will you follow him to the harvest that is vast, but yet so ripe and ready for workers to show up? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the opportunity to follow us. Father, there are needs so vast out there, and there are so many opportunities. There are mission groups looking for engineers, looking for legal advice, looking for business help, looking for construction help, looking for teachers. There's something that we can do. Some way that we can help. Help us to see that following Jesus means going to where he went and where he still needs to go. Help us to make our hearts and our minds and our souls available. Give us the courage to follow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.